Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Discussions of faith and politics are hardly unusual in this day and age. And of course, whether you were a believer or a non-believer, you got mentioned in Barack Obama's inauguration speech this week. Whether you are a believer or non-believer, how did Obama's mention of non-believers make you feel? Tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org, or perhaps another word stood out for you. You can call us and tell us your story. So it was all there on the podium on Inauguration Day. You had Lincoln's Bible. You had Rick Warren giving the invocation. You had Joseph Lowry giving the benediction. There were mentions of God and symbolism in the oath. It's an American paradox, though. The separation of church and state is in the Constitution, yet God is all about the pageantry. And when Obama stood up to speak, he mentioned the religion of Muslims.
To the Muslim world, we seek a new way forward based on mutual interest and mutual respect.
And described a patchwork of religions in the United States.
We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers. We are shaped by every language and culture, drawn from every end of this earth.
Well, certainly with that beginning, the Barack Obama administration is shaped by all kinds of issues of faith. Randall Balmer joins us. He's a professor of American religious history at Barnard College and the author of God in the White House. He joins us from Atlanta. Randall, thanks for joining us.
Hey, John, how are you?
So, first of all, there was a lot going on in the inauguration if you were a person of faith and certainly understand the history of religion and politics in the United States. But the mention of non-believer, how important or unprecedented is that in your view?
Well, it's pretty unprecedented, but I think it reflects a kind of widening circle. If you look through American history, despite the presence of Jews in New Amsterdam in 1654, it was primarily a Christian nation. And then in the early part of the 20th century, we began talking about the Judeo-Christian tradition to account for Jews. And then in 1955, sociologist Will Herberg talked about Protestant, Catholic, Jew. Then we came to the Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and now we're widening the circle further to account for this gorgeous diversity in American society.
It's interesting that the trend has been, if you go back to the framers, who were very, very secular. I mean, it's full of Unitarians and Universalists who are a very secular denomination, and you've got Abraham Lincoln, who had no official affiliation, religious affiliation,
right.
Thomas Jefferson the same, Andrew Johnson the same. We've moved full circle to a nation of strong faith-based invocations in politics, but to mention non-believers seems like a real reversal here. What do you think the message is?
Well, I think President Obama was trying to say, listen, you're all part of this, as he called it, the patchwork quilt, and I think he wants to be inclusive. I think it also reflects, or at least is indicative, of a new style of governing where he invites everybody to the table, not merely sort of echo chamber of his own people and his own ideological perspective.
Well, some,
and I find it a very welcome innovation on his part.
Well, some of our listeners definitely got the message.
This is Joe from New Jersey, and I'm very glad that Barack Obama mentioned non-believers, because I think there's a lot more of us out there than people realize, and there's way too much God in government these days.
So, Randall Balmer, actually, there are a lot fewer non-believers out there than people realize. I think the number of people who actually explicitly say they are non-believers is a tiny minority in America. Explain.
That's right. And I'll circle back to your initial point. I think it's precisely because of the First Amendment, precisely because the government has stayed out of the religion business, that we have such a vibrant and vital and salubrious religious life in this country. Because the state, the founders in their wisdom, decided not to have a state church, not to have an established religion, we have a kind of free marketplace for religious life in America. And to extend the economic metaphor, throughout American history, various religious entrepreneurs have been competing in that marketplace, keeping it a very vibrant and very much part of our lives.
So let's talk then about what this means going forward in terms of policy. I mean, is this sort of a token mention to project simply diversity, or is the explicit acknowledgement of non-believers something that will have policy implications?
Well, it's hard for me to imagine exactly what sort of policies would stem from that, but I think it's more an indication of the president's frame of mind, that he understands that there is a great deal of diversity in American society. And by the way, I'm sure that maybe some Jains and Sikhs and Buddhists wish that their names had been mentioned in his laundry list as well.
Actually, Randall, the Pew Forum did a survey not long ago, and basically when you added up the number who identified as atheists or agnostic, it was 25% of the population. You believe that?
I find that a little hard to believe. It may reflect more likely, in my judgment, that I'd have to look at the survey more carefully, but it may reflect that a lot of people don't affiliate themselves or don't consider themselves part of any religious tradition. What I hear a lot these days is people say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And by that, they mean all sorts of rather eclectic beliefs and practices.
Well, let's take that apart a little bit. Who then, in your view, is an actual non-believer versus somebody who's just unaffiliated?
Well, I think people who are self-identify as humanists, the Ethical Culture Society, for example, is a classic example of a non-religious group, explicitly non-religious, although what I find fascinating when I visit their gatherings is that it has a lot of the trappings that you might associate with even a Protestant worship service. People who proclaim themselves to be atheists and agnostics and are rather resolute about not having any sort of religious affiliation. I suppose those folks would fit into that category.
Actually possible, based on what you're saying, that some atheists are saying our prayers were answered when Barack Obama said non-believer. All right, Randall Balmer, thanks so much for joining us. He's a professor of American religious history at Barnard College. He's an Episcopal minister and author of God in the White House. Thanks for joining us, Randall.
My pleasure.
Headlines now from Femi Okeh.
Hello, good morning. The time is 21 minutes to the top of the hour.